All right, well, let's go to our message for today. Turn with me to Exodus of chapter 11. We're going to go Old Testament here. Exodus chapter 11. Turn with me there. It won't be on the screen, so you'll have to look it on your Bible app on your phone or Google it or open the physical pages. But we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving today. So this is week 3 of our series we're going through here in January. We're talking about starting with something. The first week, if you remember, we talked about starting alone with Jesus. It's you and Him alone. Starting your new year off with you and Jesus. Before we get our plans, before we make our plans and say, hey, here's what we got to do. Spend some time with Jesus alone. Last week, we talked about starting with prayer, but how important it is before we make a decision, whether small or big, to ask God to guide us. That's the Spirit to make our steps sure and solid to wherever we go. And so today, part 3, I want to talk to you about starting with Thanksgiving. Starting with Thanksgiving. No, there is no Thanksgiving food today or good stuff like that. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving, about verbal praise, and about having a heart and a mind and a life of gratitude towards Jesus. And what does that look like? How do we start, and why should we start every day with Thanksgiving? And why should we lead a life of just being thankful and grateful? So turn with me here to, before we get in that, sorry, we're in Exodus 11. But here's our two verses for today, for the year for you, about Thanksgiving. It's first is Psalms 104, and it's a familiar verse. We've sang it here before. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And then Psalms 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount of all your wonderful deeds. And both these verses, it deals with an inward praise, but also there's an outward component in both these verses. There has to be something outwardly that we're doing to praise as well and to give thanksgiving. But turn with me to Exodus 11 here, and we're going to read the whole chapter here. One second here, everybody. I think I got the wrong. I put the wrong. Bear with me one second. Pastor Dan wrote down the wrong scripture, the wrong chapter. Let me just get back to my notes here. I apologize. Not 15. Wow. Guys, I apologize. I wrote down the wrong reference. So we're going to go, it's when the Israelites complained and grumbled and God sent the quails. Numbers 11. Thank you, Sue. Is it okay to make mistakes? It is okay. Thank you, Sue. I wrote down Exodus 11. We're going to talk about Exodus 14 here in a minute. I wrote down Exodus for both. So turn with me to the Numbers chapter 11. Thank you. All right, here we go. Numbers 11. Here it is. And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Tabereth, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. Remember, God had provided manna for them, the bread in the wilderness. Now the manna was like a coriander seed, in its appearance like that of bdellium. The people went about and gathered it and ground it into handmills or beat it into mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I found favor? And why have I not found favor in your sight? That you lay the burden of all this people on me. Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth? That you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all to this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting and let them take their stand there with you. Remember, the tent of meeting was, this is pre-Jesus, where God would come down and would speak to his people. So this is what Moses is going to, if you're not familiar with this passage. And he says, I will come down with you and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and that they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. And say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? But Moses said, the people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot, and you have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month. Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them and be enough for them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or for not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, and he spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out of the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Verse 31, then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the ground. So think about this. Think about if the meat fell, and if a day's journey from Sioux City, northeast, west, and south, all the quail fell there, and the 2 cubits is about 3 feet off the ground. So this is what it's saying, that God calls the wind to come in and blow all these birds in that would cover the ground 3 feet high and a day's journey from around them, surround them. So, okay, that's the context, all right? So let's keep going on here. And it says in verse 32, and the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Those who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. While the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. Therefore, the name of that place shall be called Kibroth Hattaavah, because they were buried with the people who had their cravings. From Kibroth Hattaavah, the people gathered to Hazeroth, and they renamed it Hazeroth. All right, so that's the end of it. And that word right there, that two hyphen word means graves of craving in Hebrew. Means graves of craving in Hebrew. So let's pray. God, we just pray over your word. God, we're so thankful that we have grace today. God, we say thank you for your blood. Thank you for your personal infilling of your spirit. That, God, we don't have to go meet you at a tent anymore. But that, God, you show up wherever we're at. Where can we go from your spirit? God, your spirit lives in us. And we say thank you for having grace and mercy on us, even when we complain. And we don't give thanksgiving to you, God. Thank you that you cover over our sins. And we thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what I want to talk to you is about three things is this. Thanksgiving helps us to remember, lead others, and to put into practice. This is three simple things today. I had a whole different really message made. But over yesterday, just praying and seeking God and driving back from a basketball tournament, I felt like God said, hey, go a little different route with about talking about Thanksgiving. And so I want to talk to you about these three things that came to me. Just remember, Thanksgiving helps us to remember, to lead others, and to put into practice. This story right here, now we could break this story down. There's a lot of different things you could preach about and dive into the story. But here's the big picture. Let's take a big picture back. The people of Israel had just been taken out of Egypt, right? Everybody knows the story, right? God completely decimated the Egyptians. He plundered them. The Israelites walked out with millions of dollars equivalent today of goods and clothes and jewelry and gold. The Israelites were loaded down with all the plunder of Egypt, the Bible says. And now they're in their wilderness. They just saw God do all these plagues, open up the Red Sea, leading them by fire and by a cloud. And they get here. They're on their way. They're going to the land where God says, I'm going to take you to a beautiful land. And they get into the journey and they start complaining. They start forgetting. They start grumbling and complaining. They start to stop praising God and back off. Instead of giving them thanks, they start giving them complaints and start grumbling against him. And so we come to this story today here in Numbers 11 where the people want some meat. They were the originally people that complained about Chick-fil-A not being open on Sundays. They wanted meat, but they had manna. God said, I would provide for you manna. But once again, they backed up from praising and thanksgiving, and they went to grumbling and complaining. They were mad at God for what he had provided. And so this is the context of our story today. They were upset. Just like remember at the Red Sea. Remember at the Red Sea? They hit the Red Sea, and what did they do? We all know the story, right? They complained. They said, oh, can we go back to Egypt? Moses, you're so dumb. How did you lead us? We're going to die by Pharaoh's hands. And what happened? God got mad and said, do you not trust me, my people? I just did this. And you can't say, God, thank you. Thank you for giving us. I mean, think about this. They were probably carrying the Egyptian clothes, the gold, the plunder, the chairs, whatever they had, they took from the Egyptians. And they're complaining. They're complaining and not giving thanks to God. And so in this right here, we meet this thing. We meet this chapter, we meet this story where the people were hungry for meat. They were definitely hangry. They wanted something, substance. But instead of giving thanks to God and remembering what he had done, they complained about what he wasn't doing or what they thought was their right or their provision. When we forget to remember, it does a few things. When we forget to remember, it doesn't help us remember that God was faithful and true. When we do remember, it helps us to forget the times in the past that we were unfaithful to God. When we do remember what God's done in our life, it helps us to remember that we've been redeemed from our former way of life. Think about the Israelites. They were in slavery, and now God had redeemed. They had called out for 430 years to be free, and yet a month into the journey, they wanted to go back. How many of us, a lot of times, God has set us free from something? He's redeemed our lives. He's completely oriented your life. You know, without Jesus, where would you be today? You'd be here, but we are over here now. Yet sometimes we look back, maybe with fondness, oh, those people have so much more fun out there. Or, oh, man, Jesus, why you call me to love and forgive, forgive my brother in church, or you call me to serve. Oh, I just want to be selfish. Can I not go back to my former way of life and worry about myself? Have you ever been there as a believer? Right? We've probably all been there where we've like, well, God, is it worth following you? Is it worth the cost? Is it worth paying the price? And the answer is yes. But sometimes we're like the Israelites. We look back to the former ways of life. And when we forget to remember and give thanks, we look back on the former ways of life, our past sins, I would dare to say with almost a fondness or, oh, I wish I could go back to that. But church, we have to remember that thanksgiving helps us to look to the future. Remember the Apostle Paul said, those that get to the plow and look back are unfit for the work of the kingdom. And the Israelites kept looking back to Egypt. And just like you and I, we should be looking forward and not looking back. And how do we stay focused on the future? It's by giving thanks. It's by remembering what God has done in your life, each of your life, what he's provided for you. Now, it can be as simple as, God, thank you for having clothes today. Thank you for having a building. Or it could be said, God, thank you that you forgave me from being an alcoholic. God, you delivered me from it. God, thank you for saving me from being a liar or being a cheater. You name it, whatever God has delivered you from. By giving thanks and saying, God, thank you for redeeming my life and giving me a path and a future, we keep our focus going forward instead of looking back to the old or going back to the things that are comfortable, the things of the flesh in our own life. Secondly is this, it helps us to lead others. When we're thankful, when we sing songs, when we go up and tell someone, say, hey, Drew, man, God was faithful in my life. Man, I lost all my money, but God came through. He sent Ron over and gave me a dollar for gas, sent somebody else over, bought me a lunch. Man, I just want to tell you, God's faithful. Boy, I blew it, but boy, God was faithful to take care of me. When we give thanks, we begin to lead others in right paths. Now, look in this, look here at chapter 11. Go here to chapter 11. Look at verse 4. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And then in verses 2 for 3, it says that people cried out to the Lord, and then Moses heard. And then for verse 4 again, it says that there was the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said. Now, how many of us know when one person starts complaining, there's a trickle-down effect? With kids, we know that, right? One kid complains, every kid starts complaining. Mama didn't give me this. Well, mom gave you that. Well, mom and, you know, we all live in rural families. Or how many people been at work when one person started complaining and that negativity, trickle-down effect happened? The same thing is what you do with your mouth will affect others. Now, Scripture doesn't say this one person did, but you got to think, if two or three of us were over here, hey, we all wanted me. You guys didn't want me. If we said, well, if we just start complaining, let's make a big scene, what happens? Naturally, humans were drawn to the crowd. We're drawn together. And they were sucked in. The people that were complaining led others to sin against God and to not give thanks to Him, which led to what? God saying, okay, I'm going to have to teach you a lesson. As a good father, He taught them a lesson. But we have to be careful of how we lead others with our thanksgiving and with our mouth. When we don't give God thanks, we lead others back to Egypt. We lead others to say, yeah, God's not faithful. He's not a man of His word. He's not holy and true, the provider, like we just sang about. No, you know what, man, I don't know. I don't know if we can trust God. It breaks my heart when I see sometimes some of my friends I went to Bible college with. Now they're like they're turning back to Egypt. They're like, can we trust God? Can we trust the Word? I don't know. Is God really good? I'm like, whoa. How many times have you and myself and you know and others, we see people start turning back and start questioning God's goodness and His faithfulness, and they stop giving praise and they start coming out with questions and grumbling. Well, if God really loved me, well, why, if God's so good, why would He let this happen in my life? Or why is this or that? A lot of times when people ask or say, Pastor Dan, why, if there's a good God, how can you give thanks for all the evil in the world? Or if there's a good God, how can you thank Him for, well, you broke your foot, you lost your car, you know, your dog died, your house burned up. How can you praise God for that? I like to ask people, if there is a good God, why does He allow us to have pleasure in life? If He's a good God, why does He allow pleasure? Instead of always saying, if He's a good God, then why does He always prevent suffering? Our God is faithful and true to us, and He always takes care of us. But when we let our mouths lead others back into Egypt, we ourselves are dragged back there. We self-lead ourselves back into the slavery, in the ignorance of remembering that our God is faithful and true. And as we sing, He is always good. It's just so sad when you read Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, how the Israelites forgot all the time about God's goodness. Now, we're no different than them. We're of the same human race. But now we have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to remind us, the seal of salvation, the guarantee to the deposit that is to come in us, that God is true and faithful. So, church, I want to challenge you today, don't turn back, but with your mouth, be careful of how you lead others, of what you say. In Nehemiah chapters 11 and 12, it says that the Levites were in charge of songs of thanksgiving. And I want to ask you today, what songs are you leading others in? Some of you are mom and dads in here. And some of you, are you leading your kids in songs of thanksgiving or songs of negativity? Songs of complaining about God, complaining about your spouse. What are you leading them songs? And some of you have nieces and nephews. Some of you have coworkers. And are you living a life song? Or are you physically speaking of a song that's leading them away back to bondage? Or are you saying a song, speaking, living a song that says, man, our God's faithful. Man, I don't know how we're going to get out of the situation. I don't know how we're going to get meat, but God's faithful to provide and take care of us. Ephesians 5, 4 says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Your words matter. As disciples of Jesus, your words matter. Now, once again, you've heard me say, we don't go in saying, yes, God, thank you that I just crashed the car and I'm in pain. We're not like, woohoo. But we can say, God, thank you that even in the midst of suffering, you are faithful. You've always been good. You've healed me. You've taken care of me. God, I may have an accident and may have broke my leg in the car accident, but God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look forward. God, I'm going to give you praise that you're going to provide for my medical bills, my food, my healing. I'm not going to turn back and say, well, God, you're good riddance on you. I'm in pain now. Good riddance. I'm going to say faithful and true. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul is writing to the young church of Colossae, and he's saying, hey, you were taught and to abound in thanksgiving as you were built up and established as young believers, young disciples. So once again, we have an obligation to lead others, to build others up in thanksgiving. Isaiah 12:4 says, and Isaiah wrote, he says, "And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted." Once again, Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel, the future prophets, that you were Israelites, you were going to be used to proclaim the goodness of God to all the Gentiles, all the nations of the world. Church, we have to be careful of how we lead, what we do with our praise, and we have to give thanks. When we remember to give thanks to God, we lead others in the procession of proclaiming that, God, you are true and you're faithful. Psalms 51:15 says, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." Church, is that you today? When you open your mouth, what comes out around others? Is it all God's, or is it, man, God's good, he's faithful. Boy, I've been through some humdingers in my life. Let me tell you how God's been faithful. Let me tell you when I was in a tight pickle, and God showed up and showed off in my life. Now, some of you in this room, you're going through some hard things, and this is not to belittle that. But can I encourage you as a friend, as a fellow brother in Christ, as your pastor, keep praising. Don't let the negativity come out of your mouth. Even if it's hard. Some of you are going through some hard things. Don't stop praising. There's an old song by Journey. Don't stop believing. Can I encourage you? Don't stop praising. Keep praising him. Keep giving him thanksgiving. Don't let the enemy get in your mind and turn you back to Egypt and look backwards. Lastly, put into practice here. Last thing. When we give God thanksgiving, when we give God praise, whether we write praise out, we sing praise, we speak at someone, we show someone a Bible verse that says God's faithful, we are putting into practice the art of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving must be internal and external. It's got to be both. It's both and. If you're a math person, you like that, right? You just can't give God praise externally, and then your heart of hearts being like, God, I hate you. I don't trust you. You're no good. But you can't be inwardly, oh, God, I love you over here. And you go out amongst your family and co-workers in the world, and you don't ever talk about God. It's a both and. And it's not Pastor Dan's words, it's not the Assemblies of God words, not the Baptist Presbyterian. It is the Word of God says you must praise him, and the inner man and the outer man has to line up together in congruity together. We cannot merely dwell on thinking about Thanksgiving. We have to be doers of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-19 says, "Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit." That's an easy verse if you're a parent, you tell your kids, give thanks in all things, eat your broccoli, be quiet, right? Right, but church, Paul writes this to the church of Thessalonica that was being persecuted. Give thanks to God in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's a hard one. Give thanks in all things. Give thanks. How many of you there? I mean, there's some things right now I don't want to give God thanks for. I don't give God thanks for our economy. I mean, how many of you lost a lot of money right now in your retirement stuff? I'm not. However, that's me looking back to my provision. Oh God. I look to the American government, I look to my retirement system to take care of me versus, God, no, you've been faithful. You've been faithful and true. When I had a dollar, when I have a $20 million, you're faithful. You're faithful and true to provide. You've taken care of me. You've given me food, a car, shelter, great friends here. God, you're faithful. We have to remember to give thanks in all things and not look back to Egypt. When we look back, that's the bondage, that's slavery. As we sang today that you have given us, we sing some of the songs, God, you've given us freedom, your abundant freedom. Turn to freedom. Turn to praise. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, this is talking about the Gentiles and those that turned away from God. But church, is your heart and mind being futile right now? Are you turning away from giving thanks to God? But this right here is very clear that those that don't give thanks to God, they do not honor God. So you could show up every day here. That's great. But if you don't proclaim God and thank him, you yourself and your inner man, outer man, you're just spinning your wheels. You have to proclaim him amongst the people, in your family, around those that are around you. James 1, chapter 1, verses 22-25 says this. James writes, this is a half-brother of Jesus. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away all at once, and he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." What's James writing about there? The whole book of James is talking about what faith with actions. Remember James says, don't tell me how much you love Jesus and you don't have any faith. He goes, I'll show you my faith by my actions. Once again, James is writing. It wasn't this separate thing. It was congruency. If you love Jesus, you're going to do stuff. And if you're going to do stuff in Jesus' name, you're probably going to love him. And he's reminding us here, I'm going to remind us this verse, that if you're going to give thanks to God, you got to remember it's got to be in everything. You got to give thanks to God when it's joyful, when it's in the middle, and when life is hard for you. When family's going down, work's going down, or whatever you're facing, you got to give God across the gamut. You got to be a doer in all those things. Because the Bible says give thanks in all things. In all things. In every season of your life, you have to give thanks to him. And so, what will you put into practice today? Are you going to put thanksgiving into practice? Or grumbling? Ingratitude? Negative spirit? Complaining spirit? What are you going to put into practice today with Thanksgiving? As you're starting this new year, what are you going to do this year in 2023? Now, a lot of you in here, naturally, we give thanks. You know, and a lot of you, I see that testimony in your life. But giving thanks doesn't mean that you have to be an extrovert or introvert. Giving thanks is an attitude, a posture of the heart. It's a posture of your body. It's coming before God with open hands. God, oh, if it wasn't for you, where would I be? If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would I be? If it wasn't for your mercy, where would I be, Jesus? Where would I be? It's a posture of the heart and the mind. It doesn't revolve on your extrovertedness or introvertedness. I want to read the lyrics of that song we sing today. We sing a new song. It's that last song called Give Thanks to God by House Fires. Let me just read a few lines of this and just listen. It says, he sent his son to die and rise again to save us. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. He's broken our chains and given us freedom. Give thanks to God, for he is good. In him we are alive and move and have joy everlasting. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. He casts out all fear and fills us with courage. Give thanks to God, for he is good. When the storms come and rage, his peace overwhelms us. His never-ending love is steadfast and sure. The Lord is our refuge when troubles surround us. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He's always pouring out. Listen to this line for someone in here. His abundant provision, his never-ending love is steadfast and sure. For the depths of his riches and incredible wisdom, give thanks to God, for he is good. Church, God is reminding his church in these last days. I think I don't have the antidote, but the exact date, but I think Jesus is getting the horse ready to come back. He's out there, he's giving it water, some oats, he's petting it down and say, hey, you ready to go, buddy? Let's go show the world who I am. Let's go bring home the faithful and true. Now, we don't know when he's coming, but I want to encourage you in these last days, give thanks. Where do you want to be when Jesus comes back, church? Do you want to be the complaining, grumbling, looking back for the meat? God, I want meat. I want to go back to Egypt in bondage. Or are you going to be like, God, woohoo, 2022 was rough, and 2023, it looks like it might be the same year in America. But God, I'm going to be praising you. I'm going to be giving glory. I'm going to be declaring that, God, you're faithful, your abundant provision. Church, what are you going to be doing this year? Are you going to be praising him and remembering him? As I said, that word, that Kibroth Hattaavah, means graves of craving. Graves of craving. The people crave the former. I want to encourage you today, we are to crave the what's to come. We are to crave the best is yet to come in Jesus. He's coming. And I'm thankful for everything we have, church. We can say today, all of us, we could probably spend an hour of giving praise how what God's done in your life, throughout your life. He's provided everything we've needed. But church, let's give thanks to God and as we go out with our friends and family and our coworkers, let's give thanks for what is yet to come, what is coming for those who believe in him. And go out and sow a generous seed of the gospel to everyone. Plead, beg, please listen to Jesus. Know that he is love. He's forgiven you 1,000 generations. Be like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, who wept over Israel, who wept over the nations, the Gentile nations, because they didn't know God. They were pushing him away. Church, let's go out and never stop giving thanks this year. Even in the hard things. I'm not saying it. We don't come in with a false thanksgiving and a shallowness of thanksgiving. It's okay to cry in the hard times of life. It's okay to have some long days. You've been there. But it's also okay in those long days or in those joyous days to still give thanks and say, God, I come before you with my tears. I don't know what's going to happen. But God, I thank you. Have you been there? Give thanks to God. Psalms 104. This is the verse I'd encourage you for the year to work on in my own life. Is enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The gates here are us now. His courts are here. The Spirit's here. This verse was written in the Old Testament time and during the first temple period. And the people had to go to the temple in Israel. That's where God's presence was. But God's now here. It's a personal praise, church. It's a personal internal praise, and it's a personal external praise. We sing his praise inwardly, and then we bring it with us. We go wherever we go, we're in his courts. And I want to encourage you this year, be a disciple. Be the church of the Father that is thankful and praise and praising and reminding and encouraging one another here that his goodness is true. He says, love is steadfast and sure. Give thanks to the God, for he is good. Enter his gates. When you wake up, enter. Let the song come from your heart and mind. Let it extrude. Let it go out to your family, to your job, to that truck you're driving, to the office you go to the people you encounter when you go to Hy-Vee and Walmart. Let everywhere you go, you're entering his presence. His presence is everywhere. We can't say, oh, I'm going to go to church and praise. That's a bad mindset. That's a mindset of the enemy. We praise everywhere because the Spirit's burning inside of us. That's why we should praise. We must enter before God with thanksgiving and be reminded that the Holy Spirit is in us. He's already given us a deposit to remind us that he's faithful and true, and his steadfast love endures everlasting. And so today, church, let's be thankful and let's give praise. And so here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to end. We're going to end with giving thanks to God. And here's what we're going to do. We're not going to pray, but we're going to do this. We're going to declare with our mouth the praises with what God's done. So here's what we're going to do. Just one at a time, I'm going to encourage you. Just say something that you're thankful for, what God's done in your life. It can be anything. Just one at a time. After someone's going, just keep going. And let's just take a moment, and let's just listen, and let's give God thanks. So I'll start. God, I thank you that you healed my broken...